My name is Grant Kane. I'm from Texas originally, but I just started going to Bethel, and they sent me out here. Wow, that was a good testimony. I was like, we're really thankful to be here. I think the thing that really is on my heart specifically for while I'm here is just to go like all the way across the world and find a hunger and just a desire for God is absolutely amazing and absolutely brilliant. Just to find that people are going after it no matter what, and that they're casting aside everything that's going to hinder them and everything that's going to hold them back from it. It's beautiful to see. And when during worship, God really spoke to me. He said, I brought you here. And it was a very simple word, but knowing my life, for God to say that to me, because my heart has been to seek out those that are hungry and to seek out those that really want the fullness of God, the fullness of His presence, the fullness of healing and the miraculous and all of that. And for God to say, I brought you here is a testimony that God is good, that He honors my dreams, my hopes, my desires, and also a testimony to the spirit in this place and the hearts of the people here. And so I wanted to, one, thank you guys for your hunger, for not ignoring it, for not letting it pass by, and just bless you guys with so much more. I'm kind of standing here, I don't have as many testimonies as Carissa does, but I do have words to speak. I don't have quite as many, and I'm gonna, what, you're staying? Okay. My testimonies come more in the things that God shows me, that God works into my heart, I think, and the words that He brings me. I'm just naturally the pastor teachery guy, so I can be loud, I can be crazy. But the good thing is, I work from the best kind of Bible. I have the English Standard Version, just for all you guys. It's in English for you. So let's pray really quickly. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your love, God. We thank you that you have poured out into this place. We thank you that your spirit is here, Lord. We thank you that you're good. We ask for more, Lord. You're so good, God. You're so good. We just praise you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you. Mm-hmm. Amen. How time? Do I have time? No more than 4 hours? I always ask because I can be, and I want some things to come across. There's a big, big difference, and this has been on my heart for quite a long time. I've been wanting to share this message for a long time because it's something that I believe the church absolutely needs. And it's this idea that there's a big difference between experiencing peace and walking in peace. And I believe that God's calling us to begin to walk in peace instead of experience it. Let's turn to, let's see, where are we going to be for the most part? We're going to be jumping around a little bit. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 3. I'll go ahead and start summarizing. So Jesus comes from the Galilee, and he's coming to be baptized by John. And John's like, oh, no, don't be baptized by me. I need to be baptized by you, which is probably true. Jesus says, let it be so, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And he consented, and Jesus was baptized, and immediately he went up from the water, and from heaven comes down a dove and rests on him. And he says, and the voice comes from heaven, it's God, and he says, behold, my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. And I want to focus on a couple of things in this. Number one, heaven does not run out of animals. It's true. God wasn't looking around and he's like, oh, Jesus is being baptized. Okay, we're out of water buffalo. We're out of aardvarks. Oh my, we're going to have to send a dove. It's all we've got left. No, I think God sent a dove on purpose. God does everything on purpose, and it's so wonderful. And I believe that one of the reasons he sent a dove is because a dove represents peace. And peace is something that we need. Jesus, at this point, hadn't done anything in the ministry. He hadn't gathered his disciples. He hadn't done anything. The only thing we know about him was what we know about when he was a child, that he wanted to spend time with his father. And of all the things, I think it's amazing that of all the things that are that Jesus, that God could have poured down on him, that he could have brought the aardvark of anointing onto Jesus. He could have brought the llama of love. But he didn't. He brought a dove, and he did it on purpose. He did it on purpose, and it's so beautiful to watch and to see how important this piece is. I think it's interesting, the way I grew up and the way I used to minister. What's in my eye? The way I used to minister, when someone would always come to me with a problem, I'd be like, okay, let's find the solution then. We start praying, I'd be like, okay. God, help. And God really corrected me on this one day. He's like, Grant, no. That's not how it's supposed to work. See, Jesus had peace before he ministered. Jesus had peace before he healed the sick, before he called his disciples, that ragtag band of awesome guys. And the thing is, the thing that God told me is, Grant, you're supposed to have what they need before they come to you. I was like, oh, jeez. I didn't. There we go. And I love that at the same time, the Father in heaven says, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. And, you know, Jesus didn't do anything up to that point. And so many times, especially like me, that's the way I grew up, was we have to do things. We have to do things. We have to please God. And it's great doing things. Doing things is great. But so many times, especially in the church today, the thing that we need to come into a full knowledge of is that he's well pleased with us because we're his sons and daughters. I think it's interesting. We talk about how you receive a prophet's reward and a righteous man's reward when you accept them. And I think it's interesting that Jesus was a righteous man and a prophet. And Jesus, as a righteous man, when he died, his reward was heaven. And all we have to do is receive him to get that reward. Oh, come on. Let's go ahead and turn to John chapter 20. I'm going to be moseying around today because I like to mosey. And God likes to mosey. Jesus says to his disciples, oh, we're in verse 21 and 22, by the way. And Jesus says to his disciples, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Peace, Holy Spirit. There it is again. And if God sent Jesus out with the Holy Spirit and a deep, infinite peace within him, then that's the way he's sending us out. Like Jesus doesn't send us out and forgets to equip us before we go out. I think sometimes we just have to recognize how ready, how equipped we are to go out, to minister, to prophesy, to speak. See, the thing is, we either have peace or we don't. And when we don't have peace, the things of this world scare us a lot more than when we do. And when we have peace, the things of this world just seem kind of dim and unimportant. As far as like, not the things of this world that God wants us to come into. I love this. John 3:34 says, he whom God has sent, which is Jesus basically talking about himself, he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. And this is amazing because when Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit, it's without measure. And the Spirit and the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace. Oh, that is so cool. That is awesome. Man, did you guys steal my notes or something? And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit's given without measure, then that means we have righteousness without measure. We have peace without measure. We have joy without measure. Which means if there's any part of our day that we're not walking in full righteousness, the knowledge that we can stand before God, pleading the blood of Jesus over us and saying, okay, I'm going to be okay because Jesus died for me. We can have the full acknowledgement that we can have joy, full joy, just that deep down ooey gooey joy that we talk about. The joy that makes you laugh in the situations that are the hardest. The joy that completely has you rolling on the floor. And peace. And peace is so much more than I think we typically think of it. Because I think people typically think of it as, oh, that's just a nice feeling. I'm peaceful. I'm calm. I'm relaxed. But the thing is, peace is so much more than that. Because peace is the knowledge that the Holy Spirit's with you and in you. Because the Holy Spirit came as a dove, not a water buffalo. And the thing is, it's a lot easier to live from a place of peace than it is to live trying to find peace. And because peace is unlimited, peace is given without measure, we don't have to go around trying to find it. Because it's always right there available to us every single morning, every day of our lives. In John chapter 14, in John chapter 14, 25 through 31, Jesus talks to his disciples, and his disciples' last statements, you can tell they're freaking out because Peter, because Jesus just said that Peter would deny him, and they're like, oh no, not Peter, he's like the good one. And they're all like freaking out. You can tell they're freaking out because of the questions they ask. They ask, how can we know the way? When they've been walking with the way, the truth, and the life for so long. They ask, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. They ask, how is it that you're going to manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Those are the disciples' last three questions. Those are scary questions. You can tell they're a little spooked. And this is how Jesus comforts them. He says, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. Then Jesus says this, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to the remembrance of all that I have said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, but I give to you. But do I give to you? And I love this. Like, the disciples have these hard questions, these real questions. I don't think they're just like trying to throw Jesus off. I think they have real questions in their hearts because they're scared. And Jesus says, I leave you my peace. Peace is such a confidence. But I love this next line. And I think this is what catches us up the most times. He says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And the thing is, guys, that... Have I said y'all yet? I don't think I've said... I have. Y'all. Just for y'all, you know. The thing is that he says, let not your hearts be troubled, nor let them be afraid. The reason he says this is because we can, and we do. We let our hearts be troubled. We let them be afraid. And we don't have to. That's not who we're called to be. See, the thing is, it's not on his end whether or not we have peace. Because he gives the Spirit without measure. I realize that a lot of this time I'm talking to the wall. Hi. And a lot of times whenever fear comes in, and whenever our hearts are troubled, it's because we just haven't asked. And it's such a sad thing, too, because there's so much to be brought to us. There's so much to be given to us. One of 50, don't worry. You know, peace is an interesting thing because, especially in conflict, a lot of times we deal with conflict and we deal with troubles by trying to, hold on, I want to say this right. Peace doesn't come from going into a problem and trying to find the solution. Because when you go into a problem and you try and find the solution, then we tend to rely upon our own like vices, our own ways of finding that solution. And unfortunately our ways, and I'm speaking mostly for myself because I've done this, comes from ignoring things to find peace. or distracting yourself from responsibilities to find peace, or choosing not to face what God has put in front of you. But the thing about peace is that it lets you interact with the things that God has for you, no matter how hard they are. Because God gives without measure. The world doesn't give without measure. The world gives like little tiny bits, little pieces. But God gives without measure. Even the greatest and the richest and the most powerful people on earth have tiny bits in comparison with what God has. Someone with peace, they don't run away from distractions. They don't follow. They don't like try and distract themselves or get out of trouble. Because if God is with them, who can be against them? And there's a great deal in this that has to do with our declarations and our proclamations. I think we're going to make a couple really quickly. Romans 8:6 says, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. And so let's make a couple of declarations really quickly. I want everyone to repeat after me. Father, we want all your peace.
We want all your peace.
You guys sound awesome. We want all your righteousness.
We want all your
joy. We want all your joy. Yeah. I was hoping someone would follow that one. Father, we want it all. We don't want you to stop the floodgates. It feels good. It's thick in this place, guys. I've got some other verses here, but I want to get to one thing really quickly that I really feel like God is like pulling me into. And Ephesians 4:3 says that we're meant to live with a spirit of unity in the bond of peace. And so this bond of peace is this idea that we already have everything that we need from God. He's poured it out without measure. And it's this idea that I personally believe. Okay, step back 1 second. I want to say this first. What was I going to say? I was going to say something. It was really good. It was really good. I promise you. Yes. Peace, used in the Bible, peace has a few definitions in the Greek. And one of them is that calm, relaxed feeling. So I don't want you guys to like throw that out and be like, oh, well, Grant said it's not just that. No, it is that. That's part of it. But there's this whole other part that I think the church wants to get a revelation for. I think God wants to give this revelation to the church. And it's this idea that it says, I'm just going to read it out, of Christianity, the tranquil state of soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is. And the cool thing is, love, perfect love, casts out all fear. Peace allows you to keep it that way. I love this. The other definition for the word peace in the Bible says, the blessed state of devout and upright men after death. But I think it's true, because that definition doesn't work in heaven, really. Because heaven is so full of life that the after death part doesn't really matter. And I think what it means by after death then is after death here. We've all died to the flesh. And I think the state of our spirit being devout and upright, and the knowledge, the knowing that we're dead in Christ and alive. Dead to sin, alive in Christ. Yeah. That knowledge will send us into situations where we know we can win, because we have the infinite peace of God. That'll send us into conflict. It'll make us the problem solvers of the world. And guys, the world's crying out for problem solvers right now. So Ephesians 4, my favorite chapter in the whole world. It's fully underlined. I don't underline a whole lot, but this one got the full working of it. We're urged to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we've been called. Which we've all been called. That's a good thing. With all humility, all gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of faith. Meant bond of peace. I can talk. I can read too. The underlines. But I think it's interesting because so many times, like, the unity, and I'm just really going to say this. I don't even think this is a huge part of the peace message that I brought, but this is just a word that's been really stuck to my heart recently, and I really feel like it just needs to get out there. If you want to put this with the peace, you can, because it's linked through Ephesians 4. But if you don't want to, that's okay. This idea about where we're positioned in the body, and it's in 1 Corinthians 12 when it's talking about many members. But the thing is, the body doesn't consist of one member, but it consists of many. And if the foot should say to the hand, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. And the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. What would that make it any less part of the body? And in this chapter, it outlines the two major lies that I believe is keeping the church from living in a spirit of unity and a bond of peace. And this is great because there's so much good that can come out of this. And the first lie is this. They don't need me. Hi, guys. How's it going? The first lie is this. They don't need me. And it's such a sad thing because we are meant to be a body and we're supposed to give glory to those that deserve, that give less, like the pinky toe. And I think there are a lot of people out there, and I've seen it, and my heart just cries out for this to be brought to the fullness of Christ, like Ephesians 4 says. And the idea of they don't need me is an issue with like low self-esteem, those types of things. And it's hard because the church's job is to raise those people up. And I think it's awesome. I think this whole culture of honor thing, this whole idea of raising up the lower parts, the weaker parts to preach is really good. Wonder why I think that. But the other part is this. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. And so the first lie is, they don't need me. They don't need me to be a part of the body. They don't need my gift. They don't need my personality. They don't need the way I talk. They don't need me to say y'all to them. But the other part is, I don't need them. And the thing is, it isolates the body. And it puts the body into individual members that aren't connected. I know this is way off topic, but it's just right now where I am. Oh, I heard some of that say it's good. And the thing is, this is cool. Because the thing with the body is that we're all different parts. Let's say one, I'm a finger and someone else is a toe. And the cool thing about this that God showed me was that the more that the finger works, the more blood actually gets pumped to the toe. And the thing is, we all have the same blood. Jesus' blood runs through the entire body. And the more that one person works, uses their gifts, moves, encourages, lifts up, the more that the parts of the body that need to be connected are going to. There's this thing on peace and unity that's just really, really strong right now. And I think part of the idea that's so powerful is that when we are living in peace, this idea that we're confident that we're dead in Christ, that we're confident that we can tackle the issues, when we're confident that Jesus has given us everything that we need for life and godliness, We're going to stop pointing fingers and saying, I don't need you, or they don't need me. And there's this confidence that I believe that God is pouring out over the church at large of a very real knowledge of who we are. And because we know who we are, we know that we need things. We know that we need each other. We know that we need God. And this need for God will bring God. Not that he's not here. And the thing is, we only get as much God as we need. And a heart that says, I need God so much, will have God so much. And part of it is that the heart that cries, I need God so much, will be given God in the person in the congregation who doesn't know who they are. But the good news is that it's super easy to get. The good news is that Jesus does give the peace without measure. He does give the peace without measure. He gives joy without measure. He gives righteousness without measure. Knowing those three things, being happy with where you are, being confident that Jesus' blood has covered us, will set us up to pull on other parts of the body because of that need. So what I want to do in life, at least, right, as I live, I want to begin to empower the little pinky toes that aren't getting enough blood. I want to bring the people of the body into this peace that to where they can actually stand together. The thing that we're only called to do in the body is stand. And it's a beautiful thought. Like, the world can come against us, but if we stand, we win. Because we have everything we need. And the longing of my heart, the longing of the things that God is putting in me, those groanings that cry out to be revealed, is that we all begin to live in this assurance that we have everything we need, that Jesus has given us everything we need for life and godliness. That he's poured out his peace on us, just like he poured it out on Jesus before ministry. And God says, my peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. And it's such a beautiful thing, because I can see on people's lives that there is a growing and strengthening of peace. And it's beautiful and it's awesome. And it has us not running around in circles trying to figure out what to do, but confidently stepping forward into what's next and what's new. And I want to stir that up, guys. I want to stir that up so much. So I'm going to invite Carissa up. Give a hand for Carissa. She's just wonderful, isn't she? And there's something that's just in this, that's on this, that there's like, I don't even know what it's gonna look like. So, but there's something about activating people in the peace so that we can find out where we fit. And it has nothing to do with who's more important, who's less important, who's needed, who's not needed. It has to do with how we're needed and how important we are. Because when God sees us, he sees us as incredibly important no matter what. So I'm going to hand this over because I have a feeling she has a better idea of how we're going to work this than I do.
Like, what I love about what Grant is talking about is I think that, to me, peace has become a really powerful pathway to connection with the Lord. Because when I feel peace and when I experience peace, I feel his presence more. I connect with his love and his heart in a really tangible way. And like he said, like when I experience peace, like suddenly his presence becomes larger and my situation in my life becomes smaller, just because of who he is. And, it's in the place of peace that I find solutions, that I find answers, that I find strength to continue, and that I really find him. So something that I have a huge heart for, and that I, is that peace is a tangible experience. Like, peace is a presence that you feel. Peace is a substance that you experience. You know, I spent way too much of my life not knowing that God wanted to touch me in a really tangible way. And I experienced the world as far more real than I experienced God. And so for me, stepping into this place where I feel his presence and I experience his tangible peace and I can see him and I can sense him and I can experience and interact with him has really transformed me, because he's more real, and just that revelation that he wants to touch me and he wants to interact with me. So I feel like that's what I want to release, through Grant's word of peace. I would love for you guys just to get comfortable. And just, I want to release the peace of God over you as a tangible experience. So that's what I do. I release peace over you. I release a peace over you that you can feel. You might feel it in your hands. You might feel it in your chest and your spirit. You might feel the peace just settle over your mind in a way that is really tangible. You might feel a peace just flood your thoughts, the thoughts, the anxieties, the things that you've been thinking about. You might feel a peace just settle over right there. You might just feel his presence just come over your body right now. There's a lot of ways that that looks, but I believe that there is a tangible presence that of peace that God wants to release over you right now. So Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would release that. Release your tangible presence of peace. And I just speak that peace into being. I speak peace over your heart. I speak peace over your situations and circumstances. I speak peace over your minds. I speak peace over your loved ones and over your family. I speak peace over your finances. A tangible presence and experience of peace right now, Father. Thank you, God, that it's your shalom peace that brings healing to us. And so I just release the shalom peace of the Father here as well. And I speak shalom peace to everybody that needs healing. I speak shalom peace to every heart that needs healing. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak the words of life to every heart in here. Thanks, Holy Spirit, that one word from you absolutely changes our hearts. One word from you brings alignment. One word from you brings healing. And so I release the one word from you to every individual heart here. The one word from you that brings peace. The one word from you that brings healing. The one word from you that brings joy. Thanks, Father. Thanks, Holy Spirit.
Just stay in this place, guys. I think that there are, I feel like there are some like major like walls or issues for some people in here. And the thing that I saw God doing as he released this word was breaking down the wall so that all was left was this little tiny brick. And so I just want to speak this over people and release this peace. And I believe that God has put something specifically in this. I feel like we need to all say this. Like, imagine the problem, the wall, whatever it is. Father, I receive peace. Father, I receive peace. Father, you are bigger than this. I receive your peace. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, God, we just ask for more. We ask that your peace would flood over us every waking moment as we sleep, Lord. You have called us to be of good cheer, for you have overcome the world. Oh, thank you, God. Yeah, I just release any of the peace that God has given on my life, on my heart, into this place, onto these people. Lord, that we would walk with you, with your Spirit and truth. Thank you, God. Yeah.
I feel like God wants to do some creative miracles today. So I don't know if there's anyone who needs a creative miracle in their body. Some of the things that does anyone have a brain tumor or a growth on their head? Needs to be healed. Anything like that. Does anybody have a family member who has a brain tumor or needs healing for that? Okay. I just release the shalom peace. We want to pray over you on behalf of your family member. And we just say, tumor dissolve under the peace of God in Jesus' name. We release the shalom peace and healing over her family, in Jesus' name. Yeah. Yeah. Does anyone have issues with hearing? Any ears? Yeah. Do you want to come up and Grant will pray for you for healing for that? That'll be great. Yeah. Does anybody need healing in their right shoulder? Healing in your right shoulder. Do you want to put your hand on her shoulder and pray for healing to come in? That'd be great. We just release healing over that right shoulder. Yeah. Yeah. Do you have
Ira shukari ya la mala di kira ra ya la mala kari ya la mala kari ya la mala kari ya la mala kari ya la Yeah, Father. So we are just in this space. I want to give opportunity if you want to reach out for anything at all. This is a good season. It's a good season. And not only for ourselves, but one of the things the Lord's been talking to me about has been the issue of interceding for others and to be the faith for others. And so whilst while we're in this place, if you don't have to rush off, I just want to encourage you to raise those that you are praying for healing for to him. And we're just going to do that right now. So if you're praying for someone else, just raise a hand and it will be like that sign of faith, like the centurion that sends his servant to see Jesus. That it's the centurion's faith that Jesus marveled at, even though it wasn't actually him who was needing healing. So Father, we don't always fully understand the equations of faith, but we know that it's always there when you act and work. And so, Father, through Lord Jesus, these intermediaries, Lord Jesus, we release the blessing that that centurion received because of the faith he had, Lord Jesus, because of the faith he had for his own servant, Lord Jesus. We release the favor, Lord Jesus, that you put on faith. Lord, as we reach out for our friends and our neighbours, Lord Jesus, for our family members. Father, we want to just declare some truth. Lord, I want to declare that, Lord Jesus, cancer is under the feet of Jesus. Lord, we declare, Lord Jesus, that multiple sclerosis is under the feet of Jesus. Father, we declare, Lord Jesus, that all heart conditions are under the feet of Jesus. Father, we declare that all degenerative mental issues are under the feet of Jesus. Father, we say Jesus' name is high above everything else. And so, Father, we put those things under his feet. We declare the truth that in heaven, those things have no authority whatsoever. Not only do they have no authority, they don't even dare show their face. And so in Jesus' name, we put them under his feet. We put them under his feet and we declare the health of heaven. We declare the goodness of God over those we're lifting to you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Father, I also want to name depression. Lord, for those who are interceding on behalf of depression, Father, we release the peace that has been talked about today in Jesus' name. We release that peace into those situations. In Jesus' name, amen.